No. Sergeant James, are you still there?
I think I need to call Dr. James.
I can always call somebody on my cell phone.
Okay. We might have to. It's like starting a whole new conference.
It's starting
instead of getting a third person in.
Let's call Dr. James on my phone. So do we have Dr. Prelo and Dr. Wright on this phone?
Dr. Wright, can you hear me?
I can still hear you.
And Dr. Prelo, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, very good. Okay, so we're just going to, we've got to get one other person.
Dr. James, yes, we have to get Dr. James on the line. Thank you for your patience, Dr. Prelo.
Hi, Dr. James. It's Victoria. We were having conference phone problems, so I've got you on my phone here. Just for this item. We have Dr. Prelo on the phone.
Okay.
Dr. Prelo, how are things in North Carolina?
I'm currently in South Carolina.
You're
things
in
are going
South.
Well. It,
okay.
Yeah, the temperature's been changing, but it's okay.
Good. We're aware of you've applied for a veterinary license in the state of Arizona, and we're aware of a letter of caution issued by the state of, I believe it was North Carolina, correct?
Yes, North Carolina.
And do you have any comments you'd like to share with the board regarding that?
Madam Chairman, maybe I can help steer him
through
that and shorten it.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to reference the Arizona requirement, 43 R311704.
Hi, Dr. Prelo. My name is Dr. Nosley. I'm one of the board members here. And we wanted to talk to you a little bit about your application. First of all, very briefly, you listed your current employment as self-employed. Could you elaborate on that for us?
Yeah, certainly. And actually, before I start, I just want to thank you all for extending my, candidacy for as an applicant for the state of Arizona, because I know y'all could have declined me months ago. First time I've had to go through this type of endurance. So, I just want to thank you all for considering my application. To answer your question, I currently practice independently. So I have independent clients of my own. For instance, there's a poultry farm that I help manage. Then I have a couple other private clients, large animals, small animals. But the majority of my work as a self-employed veterinarian is I do relief. So I practice in emergency hospitals, several nonprofits, and also small private practices. So that's what I mean when I say I'm self-employed.
Okay, thank you for that information.
Just to clarify, Dr. Prelo, so you're not the responsible veterinarian for any premise, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. So regarding your application further on question 5 concerning any previous violations, etc., you put a brief explanation in there about your letter of caution. In Arizona, I think we can equate that to a letter of concern. It looks like it's the same thing, a non-disciplinary action. And if I say anything incorrectly, just jump in there. And we're not here to re-examine everything that took place at the North Carolina Board, certainly. But we also, in addition to your paragraph, we received documentation from the North Carolina Board with a considerable amount of information regarding this case, and some questions came up, and we just wanted to give you the opportunity to maybe clarify some things.
Certainly.
Sure. Let me tell you what we don't have. We don't have records. We don't have any audio of the discussion of the board. We don't have any narratives. We don't have any of these photos or anything like that. We're just going based on the summary document that we received from North Carolina. Also are not looking at North Carolina statutes or anything like that. So I just have a few questions about what occurred and give you the opportunity. One thing that I noticed that the patient, there was an accusation that the patient never received any medications, antibiotics or pain medications. That was concerning, and I wanted to get your take on that. Explain that to
you. Yes. Right. So the patient was, it was a foreign body. It was a gastrotomy. The patient swallowed like parts or half of a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up doing a laparotomy, gastrotomy, removed the blanket, closed the stomach after removal, flushed the stomach, flushed out the abdomen, and did a pretty general and secure closure of the abdomen after I flushed it. Following the surgery, the patient was placed on pain medications. Initially, I believe I did an injectable antibiotic, but I didn't do any antibiotics following the surgery. Just from the way I practice, I'll wait and I'll do my follow up, and if there is a sign of an infection, then that's when I will do my antibiotic therapy, because just from the way I practice, like, I haven't had any issues, and if there's some type of infection that comes up or presents itself as opportunistic, then that's when I will initiate antibiotic therapy. So during the follow-up is when there was a post-operative incident. Now, granted, this was a very young, probably like a year old Labrador, overweight, and he was hyperactive, and I don't know how he was cared for after he left, but he did come back with a dehiscence, and like, it wasn't necessarily a sign of an infection, but after that occurred, I did do a prescribed antibiotics, even after doing some additional injectable antibiotics on that follow-up. So that's what occurred, just to clarify.
Okay, thank you for that. What about pain medications?
Yes, the patient was on pain medications. He did receive injectable, I believe it was carprofen, at the time of surgery. I always do that, and premedicated with an opioid. Yes, he was placed on, I believe, 5 to 7 days worth of carprofen after the surgery.
Okay, and like I said, we don't have the record, so that would be in the record, correct?
Correct.
Okay. There was a 4DX snap test done, and the owner didn't consent to have that done and not documented in the record. Is that correct, or can you elaborate on that, please?
I'm sorry, I honestly don't recall doing that. I'll have to look at the record myself.
If you don't have recollection of that, that's fine. So we can move on. The patient received an injection of dexmedetomidine, according to the record, on a day when the patient was not in the facility. Can you help me understand that?
It says that, huh? Mm-hmm. I don't see how that is even possible.
Did you get that drug at any time?
Yeah, that was part of the anesthesia protocol, but it definitely wasn't done on a day that the animal wasn't there.
Okay.
Farther down in the documentation that we received, it said that he had no further involvement in Marley's death.
After the hissing.
Correct. So those events that you're asking about were post the date that he last had care.
Gotcha. Thanks. Can you tell us why images were not provided to the owner?
The only images that weren't provided to the owner was the radiographs. I didn't provide those because the owner didn't pay the bill. That's the only reason why.
Okay. And lastly, there was an issue about documentation in the record concerning the second surgery, the dehiscence surgery. Was there a surgical description of that in the record? Again, we don't have the record, so that's why we're asking.
I see. Yeah, I'll have to. I always put in my records. Honestly, I don't remember exactly what I wrote. This was 3 years ago.
Right.
But yes, I did provide a description of that second post-operative surgery, the dehiscence.
Okay. Thank you very much for clarifying some things for us. Any of the other board members have questions for Dr. Perella?
I just have a couple of comments that relate to Arizona statutes and Arizona administrative rules. And R311704 of the statutes talk about what's required for surgical equipment, and it includes, and just, I will not read the entire thing, there's six items noted, but the very first is caps, masks, sterile gloves, and gowns.
That's in our statute?
Yeah,
I think,
yes, it's specific.
So we could let Dr. Perello go if he wants, or if he would like to just listen to our discussion on this. That's where we're at. Okay. Would you like to stay and listen to the discussion, Dr. Perello?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
great.
So, in reading through this, you know, I have some concern that there may have been other potential violations. What you stated was Arizona law, but North Carolina has that.
We don't know, yeah.
But the letter of caution was regarding cap.
Yeah.
So we can assume from that they have that requirement. But there are the other issues and some of the questions I have. But we can't reinvestigate this case.
Right.
However, when we're discussing our cases, we do. It happens all the time that issues such as records and communications and all the things come up. So that was my concern and why I wanted to hear from the doctor. The one thing I heard is, I believe it's true in Arizona, again, we're extrapolating Arizona law to North Carolina, that records can't be withheld from an owner for non-payment. Is that true in Arizona? I just want to clarify that.
In Arizona, they would be required to give their records within 10 days.
10 days.
This didn't happen in Arizona.
Right. So that was my only issue about discussion. So what we have to decide is from the information we have now, are we going to approve this application?
Sure.
Yeah, and I think this is Dr. Wright. I think based on what we have, this happened in a different jurisdiction. We have to go with what that jurisdiction says. And on this, it says the committee finds and decides that the surgery is performed within the medical standards of care. So it's the surgical attire that's the problem, not the actual surgery. So I'm going to have to put faith in my fellow board members and say that they investigated this properly. And even if we were to reinvestigate and find something, there's nothing we can do about it. Right. There's no point to that. So I think this discussion is important enough that the applicant understands that, hey, we require the actual basic minimum of surgical gowns and all that kind of stuff, which I think he understands. And I think, I don't see that he's trying to hide anything. So really, I understand the discussion. I appreciate it. But I think you really just have to either say, does he qualify to sit for this or not? I think that I best call for the question at this point, because I think we need to get through it.
I agree. And what I predicated this is we didn't have anything except that brief paragraph about a violation. So, and then with the other information, I just wanted to hear a little more. I think we did.
Yes.
So that would be a motion to accept the application.
To approve.
Yes. To approve. Yeah, I would make a motion to approve the application.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Dr. James?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, are there any nay votes? Hearing none, the motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, Dr. Prairie. We're going to go ahead and disconnect the call, and we'll just be following up with you through our licensing staff regarding the rest of the licensing process, okay?
All right. Thank you very much to the board and everybody else involved.
Thank you for your time. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Dr. James, I'm going to disconnect you from my cell phone, and we're going to call you back on the main phone. hold, please.
Okay.
Thanks.
It's great that we have a plan B. While you're doing that, we're going to take a quick 5-minute bio break.
Okay.
Good.
Hello.
Perfect. Hello. So, just as we did that, the chair called a 5-minute break. We'll be back with you in a few minutes.
Dr. Ryan, Dr. James, we're going to take a 5-minute break.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Ryan, are you still there? Dr. Ray?
I was on mute. I was talking to nobody.
Oh, good.
I was just listening to
Opus
number one on the whole mute, so I'm good.
Sorry, I just want to make sure we didn't lose you, and we'll have you when we come back from the break. Thank you.
Sounds good. I will put on hold.
Thank you.